back down.
You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't
back down.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that notebook eating American lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Vito. Good to be here as always.
It's great to be here, man. Not much going on these days in the United States of America, especially with Dopey Joe there in the White House, but we'll find some things to talk about this evening.
I think.
You know, we always start off with the PGA Tour, and Xander Schauffele played amazing this past weekend at the Travelers Tournament in Cromwell, Connecticut, just outside of Hartford. It was a really good tournament. The first two rounds, Xander was bogey-free shooting a brilliant 7-under-63s back-to-back on Thursday and Friday. JT Poston shot a 62 on Thursday, the opening day, to best Xander by one shot. But on Friday, Poston shot an even par 70 and fell six shots back. Saturday was a little more interesting, and Xander shot a 3-under-67, and Patrick Cantlay surged up the leaderboard, shooting a 63 to tie Schauffele at 17-under-par going into Sunday. And then Sunday was really interesting. Shafley didn't change his game plan the entire 4 days, and the game plan was just not hitting driver everywhere and not taking advantage of some risk rewards. So he played his game, and it proved to be interesting because on Sunday, surging up the leaderboard was Sahith Theegala. This young man was playing incredible, and he's going to be a name to watch. He's a good young aggressive golfer, but. You know, he on the 17th hole, he took a one-shot lead. He birdied 17. He's got a one-shot lead over Xander Schauffele going into 18. The problem is with Theegala, this young man, he gets too amped up. And the adrenaline gets the best of him. And once again, it got him. Theegala hits this drive on the 18th hole, and he pulls it a little left into a bunker. It hits goes in the bunker, and then it goes forward. So he's between the end of the bunker and this probably 5 foot hump, and he tried to get out of it. He tried to hit an amazing shot from about 125 yards, and utter shock set in. I mean, I was watching it. I don't know if you were, but it was like, holy crap! What did I just see? He takes the shot. He's going for the green. He's going to play an heroic shot to get over this 5 foot hump. And get the ball up quickly. He goes right underneath the ball in the bunker. The ball goes maybe 2-3 inches backwards, and the sand's flying everywhere. You kind of lose track of the ball, and he looks down, and there's the ball. The worst thing that could ever happen, it was devastating. He did the right thing. He punched out for his third shot, and then he had to hit a close enough shot for his fourth shot to hopefully make bogey, and he did. He hit it to about 12 feet. And then he lifts out his bogey putt on the left side. It does a hard lip out. He taps it in for a double bogey. So he goes from a one-shot lead, and he falls one shot behind. And now he's tied for second with JT Post. And Xander's still out there on the course. So Xander has to play. Schauffele has to play the 18th hole. Schauffele hits a perfect drive. He's got a gap wedge in. He hits his approach shot to the green on 18 to inside of 3 feet. He taps in for the birdie, and he wins the Travelers by two shots. And it was the best that Xander has played, the slowest he's played in 2 days, but the best that Xander has played in a couple of years. And he finally got another win and the monkey off of his back. So it was a good – did you watch any of it? It was pretty good.
Oh, did I ever. That shot that Theegala had in the bunker, I had the same thing on Saturday.
Oh.
I was 120 out in the bunker on a par four.
Okay.
And there was a lip. Not as big as the lip that Theegala had to go through, but I had no room. I could really relate to what he was going through. I ended up chunking it out at 100 yards in and then ended up making a bogey. But still, I fell for him. And that sand was like sugar sand, and his club just went right through it. Wow.
It did. So. Ooh, so it was deja vu all over again for you, man. You were reliving that, weren't you?
Yes, all over again. Yes, I had experienced that shocking, terrible. And the conditions were rough. It was just a rough thing to have to go through again. I was on the edge of my seat, Vito. Let me tell you.
It was
exciting.
It was. And I, you know, when he hit that shot, I yelled, oh, no. My wife came running and she goes, what's the matter? I said, he's just this. She goes, oh, you're an idiot. She goes, I thought something was wrong. I mean, it was like, it was like the furthest thing from my mind. And, you know, the problem with Theegala is he gets too amped up. And that's the problem. And and he did that in another tournament. And he took it pretty hard, which the emotion part of it, I love. I love Theegala's emotion. I love his passion. And that's what's going to make that young man win. And he's going to do it, man. He's going to do it.
He dropped his club a lot. That was kind of interesting. We don't see that every day.
It was. Oh.
Instead of throwing
God.
It, he dropped it. So,
oh man, that one. Sorry, point of privilege here. That one par three. He thought he hit it into the water. He drops his club, and the ball was like it was about 8 yards over the water, and then it rolls to like within 6 feet. And he makes a birdie.
He couldn't believe it. The look on his face is, I don't believe that. He knew the minute he hit it, it was a little bit fat. So.
Yeah, right.
But the real, but another good story out of the tournament is Michael Thorbjornsson, amateur who came in fourth all by himself at 15 under, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, he got burnt, man, on 17. Oh, I think it was 17. He hit his drive in the water. But wow, that young man is going to be good. Holy cow. He's a Stanford University player, and he plays with Rosie Zhang. And so he's going to be good. That young man's got some game. Oh, my goodness. Whoa.
Yep. And the PGA got a break because they don't have to pay him.
Well,
because he's an amateur.
The amateur. There you go. So any professional tournament doesn't have to pay him. So, you know, Rossi loses his professional status. And
I would have lost my professional status taking the 800 grand or whatever it was for coming in fourth.
Well, yeah, but he's playing the Palmer Cup, so he had to maintain his amateur status. So that's a very prestigious. And I would think that after the Palmer Cup in Switzerland this weekend, after that he'll probably really consider turning pro. But you know what? He's got a good future ahead of him, and as long as he keeps his head about him, he's going to be a really good player. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, instead of me taking my pro status, I should have stayed in school and gotten an education. So I made the same mistake, only in reverse, and I have paid dearly for that for my entire life. But that's probably too much information.
Well, you know, in other informative golf news here, the ladies had their third major, I believe, is the KPMG Women's PGA Championship. It was great golf. It was played at the Congressional Golf Course outside of Washington, D.C. in Bethesda, Maryland. Holger had texted me yesterday that Lexi Thompson had collapsed. I was like, ugh. But
what?
Korean Injee Chun opened up the championship, the major championship, shooting an unbelievable 64, eight under par 64 on Thursday, and that set the tone for her early, because going out in front with a 5-shot lead the first day, and the second day she follows it up with a 69, so now she's 11 under and she maintains that 5-shot lead. But Saturday and Sunday were different. She struggled a bit. She shot both days she shot a 75, which is 3 over par, so she lost a little ground. And on Sunday she actually lost the lead. And she lost a lead to America's Lexi Thompson. Last year in the Women's U.S. Open, Lexi had a 5-shot lead going into the back nine, and she absolutely fell apart, and she ended up losing. Well, you know, a year later, Lexi didn't disappoint, I guess, but poor thing. She once again was snake bit. She pulled out to a 2-shot lead over Injee Chun and Minji Lee, and the Australian Minji Lee is on fire anyways. But once again, Lexi just fell apart on the back nine. She carded a 4 bogeys and 2 birdies on the back nine. She lost her 2-shot lead. She shoots a 1 over 73. Minji Lee shoots a 2 under 70. Both Lexi and Minji end up finishing in second place, and the winner was Injee Chun. Despite shooting a 75 on Sunday, Injee shot a 1 under 35 in the back nine, including a birdie on 16, which she took the lead and she kept the 1-shot lead. And so she won the KPMG Women's PGA Championship. So that was really interesting. I did watch some of the replay. And the thing about Injee Chun, other than her being beautiful, by the way, she earned her fourth LPGA victory. But 3 of the victories she has in the LPGA Tour are majors. And you want to talk about impressive. She's won the Women's British Open as a non-member. She won the Evian Championship, and now she won the Women's PGA Championship. So congratulations to Injee Chun, man. She's something else. Whew.
Yep, she's a talent.
Let's say hello to it now, because we're going to get into the meat of this. We're going to say hello to our chat room, and hello to Sue from New Mexico, and hello to Bigfoot, our big patriot. You can go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. It's great blogspot. He's back, and he had some great photos of his trip to Tennessee and Gatlinburg, so thanks for sharing that with us, Big. It's nice to see you back this week, right today. We had Ducky from the Northwest. Holy cannoli, it's Hoja. Moving forward, thank you for your service. And Baked Alaska, Boyd, nice to see you, Boyd. So, you know, I always like to open up with a little bit of the PGA news and golf. And, you know, I really do enjoy the women's golf. And Al and I, you know, we do talk about that. And but let's talk about football for a second here, Al.
Okay.
The reason I want to talk about football and moving, you're going to like this, man. The U.S. Supreme Court is on a roll. The U.S. Supreme Court's on, and this is football news now. So I got to say that I really do love the Constitution because the U.S. Supreme Court rules in favor of high school football coach who was fired for praying. He would go to the 50-yard line and pray, and some of his players would follow, and some of the opposing team players would follow, and they'd take a knee, and they would say a prayer, exercising his right to religious freedom. And it's been abridged by the lunatic left. It's been abridged by the progressive movement who has sought to take God out of our country, out of our society, out of our Constitution. However, the First Amendment of the United States Constitution says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And that's what's happening, the prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So NBC News tweeted, just in, Supreme Court rules that a Washington State high school football coach had a right to pray on the field immediately after games, a decision that could lead to more acceptance of religious expression in public schools. But you see, the liberals just don't get it, because if you read Wednesday's edition, go to Wednesday's edition of bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. There was a couple of articles that he posted in there, and one of them had to do with religious freedom, and it had to do with the anti-Christian movement and denying Christians the right of freedom of religion. The First Amendment of the Bill of Rights, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Prohibiting the rights of Americans to exercise their religious freedom shall not be abridged. And under the godless society of progressivism and Marxism, it is the quest to take God out of America, thereby demonizing Christians. Joe Kennedy was fired by Bremerton public school officials in 2015 after refusing to stop his on-field prayers. But in a 6-3 decision, the court overwhelmingly ruled that the school district had violated Kennedy's First Amendment rights by terminating his employment. The free exercise and free speech clauses of the First Amendment protect an individual engaging in a personal religious observance from government reprisal, Justice Neil Gorsuch wrote in the opinion. The Constitution neither mandates nor permits the government to suppress such religious expression. And I thought that was extremely powerful, and not extreme in the sense of being extreme, but it was extremely powerful that the justices now have resorted to being constitutionalists. And they stop with this left-wing, anti-American, anti-constitutional progressive movement. You know, they like to use the term, well, the separation of church and state. Well, the progressive and Marxists have tried to remove God from America's society and demonize Christian. They are infringing upon Christians' First Amendment religious right and using separation of church and state as their excuse to abridge rights of Christians. The Constitution neither mandates nor permits government to suppress such religious expression. And finally, football coach Joe Kennedy was not taking it lying down. The coach fought back and he won. Discrimination by left-wing anti-American movement was to distract the separation of church and state as a means to justify their religious bigotry. The Supreme Court was having none of it. How beautiful was that? Did you see that story, Al?
Oh, of course. This is big news.
Oh, it was fantastic news. Oh, my goodness gracious. It was just, you know, to see that, I was reading Bigfoot's Place, and it said 6-3 decision. Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa, this was freaking huge.
Yep. Well, the usual justices went on the other side, Stephen Breyer, Elena Kagan, and Sonia Sotomayor. They said, quote, today's decision is particularly misguided because it elevates the religious rights of a school official who voluntarily accepted public employment and the limits that public employment entails over those of his students who are required to attend school and who this court has long recognized are particularly vulnerable and deserving of protection, Sotomayor wrote. In doing so, the court set us further down a perilous path in forcing states to entangle themselves with religion, with all of our rights hanging in the balance. And all I can say to that is bullshit, because the coach was not preaching religion. He was not, and the school was not demanding that only one religion be a part of that school, whether it be Christianity. There is no school religion. This is just a moment of prayer, and the judges got it right. SCOTUS got it 100% right, because we need more prayer in schools. Students today need to know that there's something bigger than themselves as the riots are going on all over the country, and I think that this is a very big cultural win for our republic.
Well stated, Al. Well stated. It really was, and it was a convincing ruling at that, wasn't it? A 6-3 ruling. It wasn't just
right.
Something that was just a, you know, well, it was a 5-4 decision, and there was a lot of open ends. No, and if you read some and I can't find the article, but the justices also stated that since when. Something to the effect of, since when is someone's religious liberties not protected just because they believe in Christianity, or something to that effect? I you know what? I'm not even going to paraphrase it. But you're right, because the coach did not make it mandatory for you to come to the 50-yard line and pray. The coach was fine with him just praying himself, giving thanks to his God, his Lord and Savior, whoever that might be, whatever that might be. Well, we know it's, you know, the Christian God, okay? But the players decided to follow him too, including opposing players, giving thanks, you know, for safety and thanks for a win and thanks for keeping people safe, whatever the case may be. The fact is that the coach did not mandate it. So Sotomayor's rationale is wrong, because it was not mandatory for the player to be at the 50-yard line. So,
yep.
Just it's ridiculous.
And after being in a lot of these prayers, I don't know what you would call like a pre and post event in high school, a sporting event, and the prayers were primarily, from what I remember, for that nobody gets hurt from either side, and that we have a good clean game, and everybody
Correct.
Stays safe. And that was that, and you worded that perfect, because you've been through a lot of those too.
I mean, certainly, we all, you know, you give thanks, and whether you like it or not, I mean, you don't have to say anything. It's the fact is that, you know, we thank you, Lord, for keeping all the players safe. We ask for a clean game. We ask for, you know, whatever it is, we thank you for the win. Thank you for the blessings to be able to perform these. However it's worded, I think it was great.
Now, here's what really gets me going. Is that these atheists who are the primary drivers of getting the religion out of schools, like we're seeing here with this story, the absence of religion is a religion in and of itself. So they're bullies, they're religious bullies, by putting their view of religion, of no deity, and making everybody bend to their will and screw the majority. So they are the religious bigots. And I tell you, I got some atheist friends, as I'm sure we all do, and I always get in an argument when I say, well, you do know that your absence of religion, believing in a God, is a religion in and of itself, and they blow their top. Most of them, they can't explain, no, it's not true, but they haven't given me an argument that convinces me to their point of view.
In addition to that, the issue of abridging a person's prohibiting the free exercise of religion, I never understood how you can fire somebody because you are now abridging that person, that individual's right to freedom of religion, freedom of speech, but freedom of religion. And it's amazing how we could sit here and we can look at the Muslims have their call to prayer and they take over city blocks in New York City. They block traffic mm-hmm. and that's supposed to be acceptable. And they're protected by freedom of religion. Yet when a Christian goes to a 50-yard line, a man who has faith and he starts praying and his team follows him, not everybody, and the opposing players follow and they all sit there, shoulder to shoulder and say a prayer, suddenly their religious rights have to be abridged. And the cry is, oh, the separation of church and state. Well, there's no endorsed religion. It wasn't mandatory that you go to the 50-yard line. This man was saying a prayer, and he was giving thanks to his God. So, great. I'm telling you, this is incredible what the Supreme Court has done. And then right after that, the Supreme Court, or right before that, excuse me, the Supreme Court, the Second Amendment guarantees the right to carry guns in public. And it's like suddenly you heard bombs going off. This was the outcry by MSNBC and the nags at The View. They were
Well, they have their own guards and bodyguards who are armed to protect them.
But you know what? Wait a minute. Before we go any further, we got to take this one because I think this might be it could be. The Viking. I think Holger is weighing in here. Good evening, Holger. How you doing?
Good evening, Holger.
Boy. Hello, fellas. I get kind of excited when you start out the show talking about a guy named Thor Bjornsson.
That's
that
right.
That's a Viking name, boys. Thor Bjornsson. That's Norwegian.
Norwegian.
Well, that's right off the frickin' boat. He's got a great-great-grandfather that had a few English girls.
Yeah. What's happening?
I wanted to call in before you got off because I liked what you guys were talking about with this whole the coach and the religious freedom and all that kind of good stuff because it's crazy how – and this has just obviously come to a head here with these – you know, the left just absolutely their heads exploding over all of these decisions. But, you know, it just highlights what we've always known is that they absolutely know nothing about the Constitution other than they want to change it and get rid of it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they always want to use the Constitution, you know, if it benefits them. Okay?
Yes.
And that includes when the fact that they completely got it wrong, you know. So my first point is nowhere in the Constitution does it mention anything about the separation of church and state. Nowhere.
Correct, Amundo. Correct.
Not a. And if, in fact, I could be wrong here, but if I'm not mistaken, the only reference to religion in the whole Constitution is in the Bill of Rights, is in the First Amendment. And basically it says, make no law respecting an establishment of religion. So in other words, the First Amendment says that all of a sudden Joe Biden can't make, Catholicism, the official religion of America, and everybody's got to become a Catholic.
Okay.
Right. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Okay. It doesn't say or prohibiting the free exercise thereof unless you're in a public building or in you're in the city square. Okay.
Right.
It says nothing about where or when and all that kind of good stuff. So if you took the left's view of the reach of this government, the only place that Holger could actually speak freely in a religious manner would be in the catacombs below the surface of the earth. That would be the separation that they, because obviously every place you go is touched by the government. Okay? So what my point being is, these people, as soon as this stuff comes up, it's all of a sudden it's like a bunch of name droppers. Well, that's against separation of church and state. He can't go out on the field there. That's a separation of church and state. Separation of church and state. For those that don't know, Thomas Jefferson was like, you know, back in those days, you know, early years of the country, that, you know, there was still a big tie to England, of course, and the Church of England was the big, big church, okay? It's one of the reasons why they did the First Amendment, was because they didn't want the United States to create the Church of America or become another Church of England satellite. Well, Thomas Jefferson got into this really kind of funky subset of religion called deism, and he got into it pretty heavy, and which is fine. But he went to the Virginia state legislature and basically offered up a bill saying that they needed to separate the Virginia state constitution, and state legislature had to separate from all religions, because he didn't want his new religion to be like the black sheep, okay? He didn't want to see any discrimination against it or anything like that. So that's where this whole aspect of church separation of church and state came about. It wasn't even at the federal level. This was in Virginia, in the Commonwealth's legislative body. But, you know, you got these peons running around that are 19 years old who've never picked up a constitution in their bloody life because they don't even teach it in school anymore. And they're like, oh, that violates separation of church and state. I mean, it just drives me nuts.
You know, I'm glad you brought
that up. The other thing I want to just point out is this bullshit argument that they'll, when you talk about the First Amendment, there's always going to be some Karen or some basement-dwelling dweeb that's going to go like, well, we don't have true freedom of speech because you can't yell.
Yes.
You can't yell fire in a theater. Bullshit, you can't.
If there's a fire, you can.
There is nothing in the Constitution that prohibits you from yelling fire in a crowded theater.
Correct.
Now, if I do that tonight at a crowded theater, I very well could get arrested on some local ordinance that would be like creating panic or violating the terms of agreement on my ticket stub with the business owner. But there's nothing constitutional about that. You know, I mean, do you see in the Constitution where it says freedom of speech cannot be infringed unless you yell in a theater, unless you yell, oh, my God, there's a bomb on this bus? It doesn't stipulate anything.
Well,
so,
first of all, there were no buses back in 1787, so that your argument is. but I want to thank you because, first of all, you brought it up. You brought up the issue of the church, and I want to thank Loki, may he rest in peace, for education on the Danbury letter. And I think that's what you were referring to as well, with Thomas Jefferson penned the letter to the Danbury Baptist Church. And that was really eye-opening as far as Loki's education. And in that, the only place it says building a wall of separation between church and state is in that Danbury letter that was authored by Thomas Jefferson, January 1st, 1802. That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep. And you know, the reason I think it's important we always bring this stuff up is because we have done a horrible job as patriots and people that believe in the Constitution. We've done a horrible job of standing up to the people in this country and calling them liars, calling them uninformed, calling them ignorant when they bring these kinds of things up. It's kind of like, Jesse Jackson's kid was a legislator, was a representative from Illinois, I believe.
Correct.
And when Obamacare came up, he was one of the guys that stood up and said, "Hey, health care is one of our constitutional rights." And you know, it's a flat out lie. It's mm-hmm. a flat out lie. But do you think anybody had the balls to stand up to Jesse Jackson Jr. and say, "Hey, listen, you're lying. You just made a false statement on the floor of the House of Representatives. Take it back." You know, but they get away with it. So I mean, if you did a poll of everybody under the age of 30 right now and said, "Well, is healthcare a constitutional right?" I mean, it'd probably be 70% would say, "Well, yeah."
Yeah. Yeah.
It drives me crazy because it's the document that basically runs this country. And people don't know squat. And we rely upon these Marxists to use the damn thing. You know, they hate it with a passion, but boy, they're quick to use it if it ever fits the need. But half the time, they're not even using it right.
Well, half? So, I would say most of the time they're not using it right. And we're witnessing it today. I mean, what we're seeing today by these anti-constitutionalists, and you are so right, Holger, the issue is that we have been lied to. We have been feared. They have been instilling fear into us. You know, they want us to cower. You know, it used to be that we'll call you a racist so that you would shut up, even though race has nothing to do with anything. Never, you know, that's the left's way of trying to silence. It's just like the false campaign of Islamophobia. What is the first thing that the Muslim Brotherhood endorse or back groups or the front groups do? They call you an Islamophobe if you dare to oppose them. Paul's show on Thursday, he had Simon Dacduck on, and people were being called an Islamophobia by CARE, Islamophobic, because they were reading the Quran. And in 2003, 2004, there was a campaign by the Deceptive Muslim Brotherhood to read the Quran and read it for yourself. And so when you start reading and then you recite, "Well, I don't like what's on 474 or 484, suddenly you're an Islamophobe because you read the Quran. 9-5, you know, you're an Islamophobe for having the audacity to say, you know, kill the infidel. You shouldn't be repeating that. Well, wait a minute. You told me to read and I don't like what I'm reading." And it's the same with regards to the Constitution. Well, all of a sudden you start pointing out there is no separation of church and state that's authored in the U.S. Constitution. Right away, you got to shut up because you're an extremist. You're a hater.
Yep. Yep. Well,
you're a Viking.
And you know, we saw it with the gun, you know, these new gun laws and stuff that the Senate and the House passed and so forth. It, you know, the Second Amendment is very explicit. You know, shall not be infringed. There's no gray area there, okay? And so we've always got, you know, the Nancy Pelosi's or the Joe sleepyhead Biden, you know, who all of a sudden become the interpreters of the Constitution, okay? And that's, you know, that's nobody's job is to interpret the Constitution because it's in black and white. You can, like, read it. Okay, you read it and you understand it. The Supreme Court doesn't even interpret the Constitution. They apply it to laws or proposed legislation and stuff. They don't interpret it. Nobody interprets it because you read it. And, you know, so Joe Biden will get up and say, like, "Well, you know, for God's sakes, you know, they or somebody, I saw a tweet where somebody said, "Well, you know, back then all they had were muskets."
Yes.
You know, and then Joe Biden will get up and say, "Well, yeah, they said it can't be infringed that the people have the right to have firearms, but you know, you obviously couldn't have a cannon." You know,
yes, you could.
And so they bring it forward and say, of course, you know, "Well, they certainly didn't mean that you could sit and have an AR-15 in your house." And I'm like, okay, we have to push back to these people. The right yes. shall not be infringed. There's no qualifiers. There's no subsets. There's no list of approved and unapproved weapons, okay? If I've got a ranch in Texas near the Mexican border and the drug cartel's got two pickup loads of their agents coming on my farm, I need a frickin' AR-15. Okay? In 1789, if you owned property in Maryland that bordered the ocean and the British troops were coming for the War of 1812, they needed a fucking cannon at their
exactly.
house. I need anything that's going to protect my family and my property. And that's what we got to tell these people. Well, you certainly don't need a magazine with 30. No, I need 4 magazines with 30. Because I might have 100 Somalis here when you cut off the EBT cards. Don't
See
tell
it,
me what I need to protect my family. All I'm going by is that I've got the right to defend myself. That right was given by God. And the Second Amendment ensures that I can be armed. So we got to push back on these people. We absolutely have to push back on these people.
100%. No, 100% agree. That is very well put. Al, you want to add to that, please?
Nope, I agree, and we're moving a little bit in that direction with these two SCOTUS decisions. So there
yeah.
you go.
And quite you frankly, know, in my opinion, if you live in a part of this country where your property is threatened by some serious violence, then you should be able to have a fully automatic weapon. If I wanted a frickin' mortar, I should be able to have it. Okay?
Well, you know what, Holger? That brings to mind what happened in St. Louis. Remember in St. Louis when the destructive Democrat Party had their thugs going around and they were destroying property, that the mob broke into that gated community and they were walking on the streets and that husband and wife came out. One guy, he had an automatic weapon. The wife had a pistol, and they were just protecting their home. All they did was they stood outside. And they held it. He held the rifle by his side, and nobody trespassed on their property. They took the heat. They took the name. You know, they took all the name calling, and then they were charged by the St. Louis district attorney, you know, for brandishing a weapon. But they were on their own property, and they were making sure that they were defending their property. And guess what? Nobody breached their property, did they?
Well, and if you look back to the L.A. riots, you know, the L.A. riots, where they held back when, I can't even remember when that was, but the L.A. riots, which were pretty damn bad, you know, if you recall, you had tons of Vietnamese and Korean business owners that were protecting their property, their businesses. They were sitting on the roof with rifles shooting people that were basically coming and throwing Molotov cocktails into their place of business. Now, at that point in time, do you want, like, the district attorney saying, well, now, you can only have a single-shot shotgun up there. Yeah, I got 450 people throwing shit through the windows of my business. I'm going to set up a Gatling gun here. I need a cannon, Joe.
I don't see where. Okay, right, so Gatling gun and cannon is not in the Second Amendment, by the way. I'm looking at it right now, and it doesn't say anything about a Gatling gun.
Mini rail gun. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good
you
show.
A,
thanks for letting me call.
You need a 18 warthog.
All right. See you later.
Thank you, Holger.
See you, Holger. Great call.
So the ruling on the great call, Holger, thank you, because the ruling on the Second Amendment guarantees the right to carry guns in public.
It said, let's see, the Supreme Court ruled Thursday, that was last week, that the Constitution provides a right to carry a gun outside the home, issuing a major decision on the meaning of the Second Amendment. The ruling in New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin was a 6-3 decision, another overwhelming decision with justices voting in the majority. So, you know, the news writer in this case was a leftist, and of course he had to make sure he said the Republican appointed justice. How about the constitutional justice voted in the majority, you know, who believes in the Second Amendment? They believe in the right, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, like Holger said, I don't know what part of shall not be infringed you don't understand. And if you don't understand that, you shouldn't be in Congress because you're too fucking stupid to be in Congress. You shouldn't be passing laws, okay, if you don't understand what the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution states, how it reads, okay? And if you don't like that, then read the Federalist Papers. And the Federalist Papers, that also validates what the amendments, what the decision for amendments were, including the Federalist Number 10. I mean, my goodness gracious, we have fallen that far behind that the left wing, the Marxists, so want to dismantle our constitutional republic. The Constitution, Thomas wrote, protects an individual's right to carry a handgun for self-defense outside the home. And, you know, there's now a concerted effort now to demean, you know, a justice of color. Suddenly, the left wing are no longer racist when they start condemning and they start berating, you know, a black jurist. And it's just, it's disgusting and despicable because Justice Thomas is upholding the constitutional rule of law. And, you know, we all know that the left wing loves to use the term rule of law ad nauseum, but it means nothing to them. Because the rule of law is pretty clear. The Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And the U.S. Supreme Court got it right. They got it right. And once again, Al, after that decision, okay, after that decision, this is what happened at MSNBC DNC.
Well, hell, they should have just hung out with Mayor Eric Adams. Excuse me, the mayor of New York City. He made a comment that was unbelievable. He was telling the Post he was shocked to learn just how bad this place is, and this place being New York City. And he learned this while spending 3 hours on the subway in New York City with guards and cop details and undercover cops. And you've got to wonder, New York City citizens would love to be able to carry guns, but it is very, very difficult. And I guarantee you that if they had concealed carry, there would be a whole hell of a lot less crime.
Yeah, and you know what? You probably would start eliminating mass shootings, which is what the left wing, what the Marxists want, because they so want to dismantle the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Because they know, the left wing knows, these anti-constitutionalists know, if they erase, if they dismantle, if they dismember the Second Amendment, so goes the rest of the Bill of Rights. And they know that. And in their quest to make America a banana republic, not even a republic, a banana democracy, so that they can have the authoritarian rule, they know that they have to get rid of the Bill of Rights. That's great. I just, really? You know what? The U.S. Supreme Court, it's unbelievable what the U.S. Supreme Court has done, you know, just in those two rulings, the upholding religious freedom, the First Amendment, and upholding what? The Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And even in Oslo, they had problems. They had 2 people killed, 21 others injured Saturday after a mass shooting in the entertainment district of Oslo, Norway. Officials said the attack is being investigated as an act of terrorism, with the gunman said to have targeted LGBTQ pride festivities in the Norwegian capital. Can you guess what religion the shooter was or is?
No. No. Was he an Amish guy? Or was he a Jehovah's Witness?
Ooh, close. I'll give you a clue.
right.
Zaniar Medapour.
Oh, let's
42
see.
Year old.
Was he a Buddhist?
Yeah. He relocated from the Kurdish region of Iran.
Iran. Oh, okay. So let's see. Was he? Geez, I don't know. Al, I'm absolutely stumped.
Well, I'll tell you. And Medapour in 2015 is potentially having been radicalized as part of an online Islamic extremist group.
Oh.
The attack was the first mass shooting in Norway in more than a decade and came during events marked for the 50th anniversary of the decriminalization of homosexuality.
Yeah, and you know, isn't it amazing? And you read about Saudi Arabia, they removed all the LGBT QRST, you know, rainbow flags. I mean, they just don't get it.
Fans of the homo thing.
No, they aren't.
Because they have a lot of homosexuality in Islam, but as long as you keep it, from what I've been told, as long as you keep it out of the public eye, nobody says anything. Once you make a public show of it, that's when that's what gets you killed.
Well, Bigfoot wants to know, was he a
Zoroastrian?
Thank you very much. Yes.
My guess is a Shia if he was out of Iran.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. If he's out of Iran, it's got to be a Shia.
But I'm only guessing. I don't know for sure.
Hey, so Joe Biden, the puppet, and I'm not sure, you know, we didn't talk about this, but I wanted to just quickly ask your opinion on this one. So Bonehead Biden is photographed with a card, you know, a cheat sheet that's titled "The President." And did you see this photo by any chance?
Did I ever? How embarrassing.
I mean, you know, isn't it a sad reality of how dysfunctional Joe Biden truly is? I mean, first off, he's got a card that's titled "The President," so they have to remind the feral fraud that he's president. And then the card has bullet points. And so here are the bullet points on this card. You, in capital letter, Y-O-U, enter the Roosevelt room and say hello to participants. Hello. And now you take your seat. Okay, and you and your are both capitalized and you're emphasized. Okay, Joe, you got to take your seat. And then press enter. And the press enters. Now, do I press enter or is that? No, Joe, it's the press. They enter. Oh, gotcha. Okay, so I take my seat and I don't press enter, but the press enters. So now you give a brief comment, 2 minutes. And then the press departs. And then, you know, Joe's saying, I don't see a depart button for the press depart. I don't see a press. Joe, that's the media. They leave. Joe, oh. Now, you ask Liz Shuler, president of AFL-CIO, a question. Liz is joining you virtually. So she's not here? No, Joe, she's with virtually. She's not here. No, she's here virtually. So then you, in big, bold letters, you thank participants. And then you depart. Do I leave? Yeah, Joe, you leave. You depart. Oh, so they have to, they have to give this frail old fraud, this feeble man, the puppet, instructions on how to conduct themselves. The wicked man, as defined by under Psalms 6:12, the wicked man. That's who Joe Biden is. He needs written instructions to remember his lines. It is unbelievable what we're seeing. And the same press, the same media who sought to condemn President Trump and to make up phony stories about the man with regards to his mental health and his health and his capacity is absolutely sanitizing this feeble old fraud that's in the White House right now.
Yeah.
Tell you, it's just unbelievable what we're. I mean, when I saw that, it's like, you gotta be kidding me. There's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 bullet points that this guy has to follow. It's just, it's incredible.
Please state your name.
Your name.
I state my name.
Your name. It's like Blazing Saddles. Repeat it to me. I state your name. I state your name. Oh, my God. And then, of course, Jill's got to take him, you know, on the back of each card, your lime jello is in the right-hand drawer of the podium table. Under your chair is some tissues for drool. If you start to panic, Jill is off stage and will assist you if you use the safe word, mama. Well done, Odie. That's funny.
Did you hear about Ashley Biden's diary?
You know, I've been hearing bits and pieces about it, and it's from what I'm hearing, it's not good.
No, not good at all. She was hypersexualized. She took showers with her dad that she said may have been inappropriate, and she had sex with her. Whatever it was, the showers with her dad was the media spiking that, because that should have been enough for a, I don't know, like a huge investigation.
Yeah, it's and she true. Wasn't she wasn't like 2 or 3 years old. She was like, what, 11, 12, 13 years old or something to that effect?
Yeah, something to that effect. 14 maybe. I don't know. Either way, it was child abuse, and that should have been investigated at the highest levels. Because there is no, as far as I know, there's no, time limit on that type of crime.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. So what would be the reason for sanitizing this perversion, especially now that you have a man who's reached the highest office in the land, and yet you have a willing accomplices in the media, the DNC state media, who are spiking these stories? What would be the reason for that?
The media are Marxists, just like President Biden, and they're all working to the same end, to advance Marxism in America and defeat our republic. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I it's amazing, you know, and, you know, you understand that it's a good old boys club, and the good old boys club is ruling things, and right now the good old boys club is in turmoil, and we can thank the election America before electing Donald Trump in 2016, because what we're seeing today, you know, Trump had forewarned us, and yeah, going to continue to use his name because the left wing is so out of control right now. They they went absolutely apocalyptic these last 2 days, last 3 days over the weekend. The DNC distributed the talking points. So the first is the ruling to uphold the Second Amendment. And the right to bear arms shall not be infringed in the New York case. And then it was the 6-3 ruling for the football coach in Washington State. The Supreme Court, I think, is making the late Justice Antonin Scalia very proud, and is certainly making our founding fathers hopeful that we, our republic, can be saved. But it's not without a fight. And as Holger said, we have to start pushing back, and we are. Roe v. Wade is no longer the law of the land, so says the Supreme Court. Now, the Constitution does not confer to a right of abortion. Roe and Casey are overruled, and the authority to regulate abortions is returned to the people and their elected representatives. And that's the key right now. It's returned to the people, and this is what the powers to be, the progressives, the ruling party in Washington, D.C., does not like the fact that governance is returned to we, the people. Roe v. Wade was a poorly decided ruling in 1973. Left-wing, anti-constitutional, destructive Democrat Party comes completely unglued. The anti-American extremists have come unglued. The destructive Democrat Party is the party of extremism, and they are the radicals. The DNC quickly distributed its sound bites and slogans and calls the U.S. Supreme Court illegitimate, calls the justices extremists and radicals. And they made sure that their chimpanzees of the Democrat, the destructive Democrat Party, used those terms this weekend. The left wing, led by the destructive Democrats, has waged civil war on America, on we the people, for their radical anti-American authoritarian rule. The destructive Democrat Party has dispatched their violent arm, Antifa, to cause civil disobedience. And notice how the destructive Democrat Party will avoid speaking about the violence, but then to condemn the GOP and conservatives. when the destructive Democrats dispatch their violent arm, Antifa and BLM, their insurrectionists are being mainstream. It exposes how anti-American the left-wing movement truly is. Antifa marches down the streets of Washington, D.C., calling for violence in the streets after the overturning of Roe v. Wade, or putting Roe v. back to the states. If we don't get it, burn it down. You don't believe me? Listen to it for yourself here. I got it here somewhere. I thought I had it here. Here we go. This is Antifa walking down the streets of Washington, D.C., stating, if we don't get it, burn it down.
Stand up like that!
If we don't get it, burn it down. Burn down what? Burn down the city of Washington, D.C.? Burn down the U.S. Supreme Court? This is what the real extremists, the real radicals want with their incitement to violence. Incitement to violence by Maxine Waters, Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and Joe Obama. Burn down our republic in order to supplant with a banana democracy? This is the goal, to take America away from we the people. The elitists, the authoritarians such as Obama, Pelosi, Rice, and Schumer are to be in charge. A constitutional republic is a threat to their extremist anti-constitutional ideology. The radicals, the radical political party is the Democrat Party. We don't get it? Burn it down? This is the destructive Democrat Party condoning violence. The left-wing politicians go to their state media TV shows and spew their venom, calling the Supreme Court illegitimate, calling the justices extremists and radicals, because the Supreme Court did what? They did their constitutional job. But the destructive Democrat Party loves to incite to violence. Hell, even Lori Lightweight, mayor of Chicago, got up on stage and yelled, fuck Clarence Thomas. This is how unhinged the Marxists are, how unhinged and inciting to violence the destructive Democrat Party is. So the DNC, that would be the Democrat National Committee, not the DNC procedure of dilation and courage, dispatches their violent chimpanzees to engage in civil unrest, and the so-called leaders of the destructive Democrat Party endorses this civil unrest. And these are the same people of the destructive Democrat Party who demonize President Trump and Trump supporters, MAGA supporters, and trying to sell us how bad January 6th was? Why is there still a fence around Washington, D.C.? Why? Because Joe Obama and company knew their radical anti-American, their radical anti-constitutional agenda would not be acceptable to we the people. If legislative agendas did not go their way, such as Roe v. Wade, the destructive Democrat Party would engage in civil unrest, and we are seeing it today. After all the same, the violent thugs of the Democrat Party burned down Washington, D.C. just 2 years ago. They destroyed businesses and churches, and the destructive Democrat Party was good with that. So the destructive Democrat Party delegation now incorporates the words extremism, radical, and illegitimate to attack the United States Supreme Court, who has done nothing more than hold up the U.S. Constitution. Imagine a justice of the U.S. Supreme Court is now an extremist for doing their constitutional duty, not legislating from the bench, but upholding the U.S. Constitution. The destructive Democrat Party, they are an absolute disgrace. They really can reach you didn't think they could reach a new low, but they did. Who knew? The incitement to violence by the destructive Democrat Party leaders led by Joe Obama, Obama, Pelosi, Maxine Waters is seditious, and it's anti-American, inciting their supporters by flat-out lying. And one of those lies is abortion is being banned. Abortion has not been banned. But the dumbing down of America by the progressive movement, by the Marxists, and the U.S. Constitution has been the aim of the progressive movement for over 100 years. Making Americans ignorant, that should be the destructive Democrat Party's slogan. Ignorant of the truth. The U.S. Supreme Court decided it's a state's right and does not, and abortion does not appear in the U.S. Constitution, and they are absolutely correct. Members of the U.S. Congress have taken an oath of office to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution, but protecting the U.S. Constitution is no longer in congressional vocabulary because the destructive Democrat Party has waged war on the judicial branch of government, the Supreme Court, because they, the radical anti-American progressive movement, did not get their way. Imagine the Supreme Court upholding the U.S. Constitution, the real rule of law, and sending a poorly decided decision back to the people, back to the states where it belongs. See, but the destructive Democrats in Congress don't trust we the people. It takes away from their power grab, their ruling over we the people, over states' rights. Destructive Democrat Party despises states' rights. In 2010, the total power grab by the executive and legislative branches of government were with the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obama doesn't care. Obama really doesn't care. He's an anti-American Marxist, a true anti-constitutionalist. In order to keep control over the American people, it's to take away the power of the people. The wicked man, as described in Psalms Chapter 6, Joe Bama shuffles to the podium and spews his irrational slogans and sound bites and calls the Supreme Court justices radicals for upholding the U.S. Constitution. Imagine Joe Bama Biden calling constitutionalists radicals. This is how extreme the destructive Democrat Party is. How reprehensible from a crook, a lifelong politician who is nothing more than a blowhard. A blowhard who uses meaningless slogans and empty sound bites to sound tough. The wicked man. A man who in 1982 also thought Roe v. Wade was a poor decision and rights belonged back to the states to decide. Yes, that's correct. Joe Bama Biden in 1982 uttered the words that Roe v. Wade was a poor decision and the rights belong to the states to decide. But when you're a fraud, an empty suit like Joe Bama Biden, he's nothing more than a chameleon, a political opportunist, because political opportunity shapes you. Which way is the wind blowing today? Today it's blowing north, it's blowing west, it's blowing east, and Joe Bama conforms to how the wind is blowing. Unlike the Second Amendment of the Bill of Rights, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Abortion does not appear in the U.S. Constitution. And no, it's not providing for welfare either. Now, Maxine Waters, a representative of the U.S. House of Representatives, took an oath over and over to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution. However, Mad Maxine, the old radical hag, incites her base, incites hate and venom of the United States Supreme Court, stating to hell with what the U.S. Supreme Court says, angrily inciting her extreme and radical followers to violence. You don't believe me? Here's Maxine in her own words.
You see this turnout here? You ain't seen nothing yet. Women are going to control their bodies no matter how they try and stop it. The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them. Women will be in control of their bodies. And if they think black women are intimidated or afraid, they got another thought coming. Black women will be out in droves. We will be out by the thousands. We will be out by the millions. We're going to make sure we fight for the right to control our own bodies. Thank you. Hello, everybody.
To hell with the Supreme Court? A member of the United States Congress stating to hell with the Supreme Court? Mad Maxine Waters is reprehensible. She's a reprehensible extremist disparaging the U.S. Supreme Court. Did she spew to hell with the Supreme Court after the Affordable Care Act ruling? No, she didn't. Screwing up the entire health care delivery system in the United States. No, Mad Maxine Waters didn't say a fucking word. When it comes to upholding the U.S. Constitution, the destructive Democrat Party has total ill will. Their venom speaks volumes. The destructive Democrat Party despises states' rights. It takes control away from we the people and brings it to this Washington, D.C. The destructive Democrat Party of Washington, D.C. swamp despises giving control to we the people. First, the destructive Democrat Party led by Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Obama Biden incited their base to violence, to breaking U.S. law. You know, the same rule of law slogan the destructive Democrat Party uses as a meaningless slogan, a useless soundbite to go after the U.S., to go after the justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. Obama Justice Department, led by A.G. Merrick Garland, did nothing to protect U.S. Supreme Court members after a draft was intentionally leaked in order to create chaos in the United States, just as described in Cloward and Piven's Marxist plan of action. This is what destructive Democrat Party does. They use intimidation to create chaos and fear, instill fear into the hearts of the disbelievers, just as the Muslim Brotherhood does. The destructive Democrat Party and their swamp colleagues want this chaos and unrest. A.G. Garland, under the orders of his boss, Obama Biden, did not enforce 18 U.S.C. Code, subsection 1507, to protect U.S. Supreme Court justices and arrest those protesting and seeking to intimidate the court's associate justices. Obama did nothing. So, Joe, what about the rule of law? Doxing the U.S. Supreme Court justice home address? This is what Obama does best, intimidate. And A.G. Garland, what did he do? He did nothing. So, Joe, what about the rule of law? So you see, the chaos, this unrest, is totally planned action, an event by the destructive Democrat Party, planned to distract the American people from the pain being inflicted upon us by the destructive Democrat Party and the disastrous policies of the Biden-Harris regime. Insurrectionists? The left-wing anti-constitutionalists are the true insurrectionists and have done far worse than what anyone has been accused of on January 6th. You see, Obama Biden has no answers, nor any intention of bringing down gas prices. So we the people will continue to pay dearly. And as a result of those high gas prices, the cost of goods being transported in the United States will continue to rise, such as grocery prices, utility costs, supply chain issues, border issues. The list is endless with the con man in the White House, lying Biden. So they need a distraction. Distract from the disastrous domestic economic policies and immediately immerse in the social issues as a means to defraud Americans. The continued incitement to violence to undermine the U.S. Constitution is the destructive Democrat Party way. The DNC yesterday pranced out one of their blithering idiots, Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren, who quickly showed she got her DNC talking points, calling the U.S. Supreme Court justice extremists and accusing them of using their religion to render a decision. That is an absolute bald-faced lie. The DNC got their radical chimpanzees out there with Elizabeth Warren, who's always spitting mad. I'm so spitting mad. She does not seek, you know, she needs to seek counseling and contact Prager University to learn the U.S. Constitution. Because the Constitution means nothing to the irrational, radical, the spitting Elizabeth Warren. And Al, I'll tell you, I think how offensive it is for a sitting member of Congress to make a statement to hell with the Supreme Court. That is unconscionable, what we're seeing from these radical left-wing anti-constitutionalists such as Maxine Waters.
I agree. It's an incitement to violence for the legislative branch to incite violence against the judicial branch. Unheard of. Absolutely unheard of.
Spot on. It is spot on. And you know, the other thing that really gets you is that here the goddess who was held up as being the bastion of protecting women's rights, the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she also stated that Roe v. Wade was a poorly written decision. So she had it. I mean,
This is unbelievable what we're seeing today. What we're seeing today is unbelievable. You absolutely – the incitement to violence is just – it's insane what we're seeing. It's insane.
Well, I think, frankly, the Supreme Court owes the people, we the people, a huge mea culpa, and I'm sorry for 50 years of Roe v. Wade that was enacted with bad legislation. And they enforce that on the people. For 50 years, we've been dealing with this.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And, you know, if you read the Dobbs ruling, and I just started reading the whole thing. I got it at 4:30 today. I can't believe what I'm reading in it. And I'm just like 10 pages into the ruling. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's you have to read it yourself. I'm gonna read it. There's 213 pages. I'm going to go through that thing this week and read it. It's just unbelievable. Hey, we got the Viking back on the line here. I guess we incited him to call.
We're inciting
God,
the angry
you guys
Viking.
On fire tonight. Jesus. Oh, anybody can sit still listening to this show tonight. Good Lord. See, I'm going to be very brief. I just wanted to, because what you're talking about, I think, is so critical because... you know, we're seeing this. I mean, it's like every month now we see where the left doesn't get their way. So obviously they've got to do something to change that, because obviously we all have to fall in line with their agenda, with their ideology. I mean, that's the way it is in America now. There is no free speech. Free speech only applies if you basically believe in what they believe in, okay? But I wanted to just bring you back what I firmly believe was the start of all this was on March 11th, 2011. Now, you remember who was president back then?
Yeah.
But March 11th, 2011, the governor of Wisconsin at the time. You know, you guys are pretty smart. You can probably remember who the governor was of Wisconsin in 2011.
Tommy Thompson?
Come on. No.
No.
By the name of Scott Walker.
Scott Walker, yes. Sorry. Yep. Okay. Yep. They impeached him three
times.
March
11, 2011, Scott Walker signed into law a whole new approach to collective bargaining for public sector unions in Wisconsin.
Oh, yes.
And the left in this country went apeshit. And if you recall, the unions descended upon the state legislature in Madison, Wisconsin. And, I mean, it was violent. It was scary. I mean, they flooded the halls of that legislature. And, I mean, it was pretty bad. Pretty bad. And in November, so just... you know, just 6-7 months later, November of 2011, what happened?
The recall vote.
They recalled Governor Walker, and he had to go through a new election, which he won. But this was in my mind is it was the start of this. Okay. The left's their idea of this was this. They did this thing that is absolutely totally against the way we want to do things. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go and threaten these legislators. If that doesn't work, then we're going to recall this bastard who signed the bill into law, this Walker character. We're going to fix it. We're going to get our way. Okay? So if you fast forward to 2014, just, you know, not even 3 years later, there was a little bit of unrest down south of Wisconsin in a state called Missouri, specifically in a city called Ferguson.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Where the left didn't get their way. The white police officer wasn't found guilty and hung from a tree.
That's right.
So Barack Obama got up and encouraged the people of America to get out on the streets. And they did, and they burned half the fucking country down.
That's right.
That's
so,
right.
So, you know, I think it's important that we recognize when these things happen, because, like I said, it happens every month now. You know, you get a congressman, actually a congressman now, that will stand up to the left, and, you know, all of a sudden they become a target, and they're like, you get the firebulbert.com website that's all about taking down that congressman. It's so different what they did to Trump. But it all started when they recognized that if they behave badly, and if they get violent, and if they get aggressive, if they get in our faces, they can change things, or they can actually recall a governor, or they can get all these things, like Black Lives Matter can actually come about. If we burn half the cities down, we're going to get our way. And now it's out of control. But bottom line is you're going to see, I think we're going to see things escalate more and more, and until somebody's got the balls in this country to stand up and say what they're doing is terrorism. They're trying to change the people's decision process. They're trying to change elections. They're trying to change the way our Constitution by violence and threats. That is terrorism. It's not Islamic terrorism. It's terrorism. And so basically, I want people like the AOCs and the Maxine Waters of the world and the Chuck Schumers who stood on the Supreme Court steps and basically threatened two justices, I want those guys labeled as terrorists, because they are inciting violence. They are encouraging acts that will change the will of the people. That's all I got. I promise. It's the last phone call for the day.
Well, wait a minute. You're the one that started it here. You brought up March 11, 2011, and who was president at that time. And it's funny how it was Barack Hussein Sator Obama, whose political career was launched by two domestic terrorists, Bernardine Dorn and Bill Ayers. And Bernardine Dorn and Bill Ayers, along with other radicals, I believe Terry Robbins was one, authored what was called Prairie Fire. And, you know, this civil unrest had come under Barack Hussein Sator Obama, who incited to violence. What he did in just starting out in Cambridge, Massachusetts, with that beer summit by condemning the police, okay, was the first gauntlet that was dropped in condemning law enforcement. And, you know, it was the Democrat, destructive Democrat Party that couldn't figure out how to get over that hump. And what it was, Barack Obama brought that to light. How do you condemn the police? And he did that. And he did that by making a statement, an ignorant statement, that the police acted stupidly. Really, the police acted stupidly in trying to protect and defend a community that has been riddled with what? Break-ins, thefts. And when a person couldn't produce, you know, the proper identification while he was trying to break into his own house, people had no idea who he actually was. And so they detained him. And then you had the president of the United States at the time, Barack Hussein Sator Obama, stating the police acted stupidly. Why? Because the police were white and the suspect was black. That was up to condemn law enforcement. And there you have the start of the condemnation of law enforcement and how it brought the left wing, the radical left wing, the anti-American left wing over that little speed bump. And how do we condemn police? And then the police officer in Ferguson, Missouri, Darryl, I forgot his last name, he's being attacked by a 6 foot, 300 pound black man who grabbed for his weapon. And what was a police officer supposed to do? Just stand there and get shot by some fucking thug who just ripped off a grocery store, a convenience store? You know, where is the respect for law enforcement? It was out the door. And you know, hands up, don't shoot. That was absolutely lie. It was a false narrative. You know, it's just like with Biden. It's meaningless, you know, sound bites and empty slogans, and it's exactly what happened in Ferguson. And you are so right to start that. This can go back to the catalyst to take us where we are today is none other than the anti-American radical Barack Hussein Sator Obama, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And you nailed it there, because one of the founding members, one of the founding members of the Weather Underground, then called the Weathermen, Underground Weathermen, one of the founding members was Bernadine Dorn, okay, who married, of course, Bill Ayers, and then Bill became a member too, and da 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 da. But those members of that terrorist organization were on the FBI's 10 most wanted list at one point in time, okay? And just to read this, it says they basically began bombing targets in 1970, okay? The targets included New York City Police Department headquarters, the Presidio Army Base in San Francisco, a Long Island City courthouse, and several banks in Boston and New York, okay? So they're literally planting bombs in these places, okay? And this is the guy, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. This is the home that Barack Obama kicks off his campaign at.
Right.
I mean, and if you recall, Vito, Sean Hannity, God bless his stupid mind, you know, was the only one that stood up the time and said, you know, how come nobody's looking at this relationship between Bill Ayers and Barack Obama? And Hannity was absolutely crucified for bringing it up.
Yep.
But, you know, the bottom line is you got Barack Obama friends with Bill Ayers, who was part of the Weather Underground, who were targeting and bombing courthouses because they disagreed with the judge's decisions. And 40, 50 years later, where are we at? Some nutcase tried to kill a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, and it was buried on page E9, you know, by you want to buy a 1968 Ford, you know?
All right, boys.
Yeah, there's no follow through. Well, yeah, there's no follow through on the assassination. There's no follow through on the release of the brief, the Roe v. Wade brief. We still don't know who leaked it.
Yeah, who's the leaker?
Yeah, and it's not like it's a lot of employees. Each justice, there's nine justices, have 23 associates. Okay, so 23. And so multiply that times nine, and the Chief Justice gets one more, okay? So he gets 10. So really, tell me, how many employees are you talking about? Less than 500 employees, and nothing's been done yet. Nothing's been done.
Yeah. I mean, we know at this point in time, we know what time of the day Donald Trump wiped his ass on January 6th, but we don't know the leaker's name. You know?
That's right. That's right. Great point.
And these All illegal right. protesters just came out of nowhere. They were quiet for the first year of President Biden's of his presidency. They were nowhere to be found. And now the Democrat Marxists pull them out of hibernation. Antifa comes out in force all over the country.
Yeah,
exactly. They gathered in a number of U.S. cities over the weekend. Protesting. They weren't protesting. It was more like, I don't know, it was sedition. The releasing of the Supreme Court decision of the Roe v. Wade, which no one's outlawing abortions. It's just going to the states as our Constitution says, because there's no constitutional right. It's not an enumerated power.
Yeah. You know, at the tail end of Barack Obama's reign as dictator of this country, there was a bumper sticker that became very popular. And people would put on their cars, you know, snowflakes would put on their cars, and it would say coexist.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and it had all, you know, it had the crescent, you know, for Islam, and it had, you know, of course, every connotation for being gay and all that kind of good stuff. Well, I think that's kind of
faded a little bit. You know, we're past that and all that kind of good stuff. Diversity has kind of taken hold. So my thought is that now we have a new bumper sticker that just says hypocrisy. You know, that's basically the definition of this country now, is who can be more hypocritical?
Exactly.
The country now is committed to no truth, because we wouldn't know the truth if it hit us in the forehead right now. We got people that represent us that do nothing but lie 24 hours a day, and they're hypocritical constantly.
Yep. Agreed.
No, we need McCarthyism back. We need another McCarthy. He was right.
He was dead right.
We need a
gutting.
Totally
right.
We need a gutting of this. Yeah. Of you know, and I mean, it's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, these people that you know, I've said it 1,000 times back when I was doing my show. I said it 1,000 times that the American people, you put them in a Publix grocery store or an Albertsons, and if somebody tries to cut in line in front of them with a couple bottles of milk, you know, all shit breaks loose. You know, I mean, you got a brawl on the floor because somebody tried to cut the line. But no, Nancy Pelosi can get up there and hold on to your frickin' COVID payment check for 6 months for political reasons, and you just whistle Dixie and kick the can down the road. You know, the guy's got 2 cans of beans and tries to cut in line, and you want to kill him, but Nancy Pelosi can get away with frickin' murder, and you just sit there and mope around. God.
Well, when it does come to abortion, Jim Richardson, the PGA president, he called for the abortion of Greg Norman, and there's a lot of support across the country. I can't confirm nor deny that story is true, but I believe it.
That's a good point, Al, because you know our sense of humor is the only thing that's keeping us alive right now. I mean, I'm up to like 16 tablets of grapeseed extract a day just to keep my blood pressure down.
Oh, well,
all right,
there,
boys,
okay.
I gotta hang up.
Thank you. Just take it easy.
See you later.
All right. Bye.
Yep, great call. Adios.
I think we got – I'm just looking up here. We have another call in line. I think it's moving. So let's take it. Hey, thanks for holding on. This is moving? Hey,
yeah,
good evening.
Hey,
how
moving.
You doing?
Oh, did Holter stay on there?
No, he left. He's taking another grapeseed oil or grapeseed tablet.
Oh. you guys are killing me. Yeah, so great call from Holter there, and it's been a while since I chatted with him and everyone else here on Global Patriot Radio. I've been called back to work and pulled out of retirement. I took a 6 month sabbatical, got a call to go back to work. Been at it for about 5 weeks now. Place is nuts. Everybody's sick. Everybody's stressed. Moms and dads trying to figure out how they're going to feed their kids. Worried about losing their jobs. Just paying for gas to get to work is hard for them, you know. Everyone recently took the masks off and learned what the faces looked like underneath the masks.
Yeah.
So the reason I called in was all this stuff about protests, about Roe versus Wade, it's all a bunch of goop. Our cities have been turned into no-go zones. I don't go to the city. I don't go to Baltimore. I don't go to Philly anymore. I sure as heck don't go to D.C. I'm worried about getting shot or getting a brick thrown at me or getting carjacked or worse. And something's got to give. And right now, all the metrics, all the assertions are out there, maybe not plainly in the mainstream, but certainly in the real stream, how really Venezuela like things may look before summer's out. You know, we get to laugh and have a chuckle for our sanity, but the reality's really starting to set in. I mean, trucks can't move without fuel. Farmers can't plant. People can't go to town, to the city, to go to the doctor because they're afraid because the cities are so violent. I mean, we're headed Venezuela, Bo. I'm telling you. It's
by design, moving by design, because all these policies are Biden's policies. He doesn't want to change anything. This is what he wants. He wants energy prices through the roof. He wants inflation through the roof because he knows that that's what his policies are going to do, and he wants to do it to advance Marxism because you need to tear the establishment down to rebuild it in your own image and to be a god. And that is the essence of Marxism.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Lowering our quality of life, lowering our ability to have mobility and freedom. When I say that, you know, people can't pay for gas. You can't have mobility.
But here's,
you can't have freedom.
But here's some good news in the picture regarding this abortion bill that's happening. Is that AP North Center poll, they did a poll back in 21. And I went back to 21 rather than now because I think whatever polls are coming out now are going to be tainted. But in the first trimester, 80 to 90% of Americans think it should be legal. Second trimester, 65% say abortion should be illegal. In the third trimester, 80% say that it's illegal. Now, these numbers are significant because the American people are not on board with the abortion like the Marxists are, the Democrats. They're pretty much against it, 80 to 90%. And there's going to be only outliers, but I thought that was an interesting stat.
And even still, the media and the paid thugs are stirring the pot. Getting enough people who are trying to pay their bills to riot just so they could loot stores again. You know, I sure hope we don't see the $2 billion burn like we did this past summer.
Well, people are getting tired of it. Hopefully they'll all go to the polls and change it. God willing, the elections are untainted, but we'll figure that out.
Yeah, well, I have some good news also to share to my Yankee brothers in New Jersey from south of the Mason-Dixon line. I want to report that the news has said that the New Jersey district attorney has said that they must issue permits to all that apply without reason, which is in effect shall issue. I guess they're afraid of lawsuits due to the New York finding and the Second Amendment finding. Hats off to the Jersey Attorney General if that's indeed true. And for all you folks in Newark and adjacent to New York City who really need that protection, go file those permits, brothers and sisters.
Well, moving, what does that tell you, though? What does that tell you? You know, you have a Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution that has finally been upheld. And it was a strong decision, 6-3, where the Supreme Court sided with the founding fathers. And any legislator, a politician in any government, whether right or left, has to know that suddenly the Second Amendment has legs, and it's been demonized. It's been torn at. It's been the attempt to dismantle and chisel away at the definition. And all the constitutional judges did, the jurists did, was affirm what our founders put in place back in 1787. I mean, how can you now dispute that? There's been decision after decision, even with more liberal jurists, that your right to bear arms shall not be infringed. And I think the Supreme Court
spoke loudly, and they reaffirmed what our founders put in place. And all this noise about you don't need an AR-15 to hunt, and you can't buy a cannon, all that is a distraction from what the actual intent was by our founders. And, you know, we need to have some semblance of sanity in the Supreme Court. And I'll tell you, there's one part, I don't know, page 3 or page 4 of the Dobbs decision, where the judges pointed out in the ruling, okay, for this Dobbs, the abortion issue, is that the jurist wrote opinions that acted like legislators, would write. And, you know, to me, that was very telling, because what have we heard over the years was the judges can't legislate from the bench. You know, leave that up to Congress to do that. That's what Congress does. You aren't supposed to legislate from the bench. And it's exactly what kind of sanity we're bringing back to the courts.
I got to say that I'm pretty pleased with the direction the court went on a few recent things. But what I'm saddened about is that they're being threatened, and there's activists who are not being prosecuted for threatening these justices, and I don't care who they are. They shouldn't sit on the court under threat of themselves and their family. So they're doing a brave thing. They did some brave things. And also there's some Congress folks who are sticking up for, you know, things that are right, and they're getting no protection in the Capitol. But I wouldn't say Republican. I would say, more
conservative-leaning
regarding party folks. They're under threat even inside the Capitol. Nancy Pelosi, ever since January 6th, has done nothing to – she'll give security escorts to people who, you know, are in her party, but everybody else got a fend for themselves, and they have death threats against them. And it appears that she encourages this activism against the right inside the Congress buildings, against numerous conservative representatives and senators. It's crazy. And the information about this is endless, and there's always a lot of complaints. So, yeah, if I was a senator or congressman, I'd carry inside, especially if they're not going to give me a security detail. So
absolutely.
I've heard so much about that happening this past year.
Well, the Supreme Court threat to the Supreme Court, I believe with the leaking of the draft, the leaking was intentional. And then to have the Attorney General of the United States, who's instructed by the President of the United States not to enforce 18 subsection 1507, 18 U.S. Code subsection 1507, not to enforce that with campaign picketing and protesting, trying to intimidate judges. You can't protest in front of a judge's house. And for the Attorney General of the United States not to enforce the law, and then to listen to bonehead Biden, who does nothing but bloviate and talk about the rule of law, and yet the rule of law to protect the United States Supreme Court, because they're labeled conservative, was abridged. It was not afforded to them, which tells me that the leak of the draft was intentional. And now what we're seeing is not an organic uprising. We're seeing a planned uprising. They've had a month now, the left, the anti-constitutionalists have had a month now to organize. We still haven't heard who the leaker was. That's not been disclosed. So you keep kicking the can down the road. You await the decision, and you hope to have intimidated the justices. You hope to have intimidated, Kavanaugh, because you've sent somebody out to actually assassinate a sitting U.S. Supreme Court judge. But to the judge's credit, the U.S. Supreme Court's credit, not one of them blinked, and they did what they were appointed to do, and that was to uphold the U.S. Constitution. And, you know, that to me speaks volumes. But now you've got, you know, the buttholes are hurt of the left-wing anti-constitutionalists. So now they're in verbal attack form. And that's all by design, too, because the DNC quickly, and that's not the procedure DNC to abort, that is the Democrat National Committee, immediately sent out talking points to attack and malign and assail the Supreme Court justices, including using the term extremist and illegitimate. Imagine calling the U.S. Supreme Court illegitimate. That came directly from the Democrat National Committee. That's a disgrace.
Wow. Hey, Alan Vito, I know you guys got to close out your show here pretty soon, but so I'm gonna vault. But I do want to hear your comments about the weaponization of the FBI in the last few minutes, if you have time. And God bless you guys.
Hey.
Your voices of sanity. Y'all take care now.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Moving. I appreciate it, man. Thank you for your service.
Good call.
I call him Holzer. I'm calling everybody Holzer. Oh, man. Hey.
We're all Holzer.
You know,
Vikings.
Angry Vikings, yeah. Yeah. The issue that we're not being heard, and the fact that the Attorney General's office now, and let's face it, it's been totally politicized. The government is politicized. You've got Nancy Pelosi making up rules. She had absolute disdain for Donald Trump, for President Trump, and she now excuses the feckless, frail old fraud, Joe Obama Biden, and his actions. And it's an absolute disgrace what we're seeing today. And then you have the legislative branch of government has now set their sights on assailing and assaulting the judicial branch of government. 9 justices, okay? And, of course, the left wing in America now says, well, the Republican-appointed judges, that's how they preface their articles now. The Republican-appointed judges, boo, the Republican – no, excuse me. The justices of the Supreme Court voted 6-3 to affirm freedom of religion. They voted 6-3 to affirm the Second Amendment. And they voted 6-3 to affirm that Roe should go back to the states. States' rights. There's nothing in the U.S. Constitution. But the left-wing lunatics don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that because now it empowers the people once again. And that's the biggest fear of the destructive Democrat Party. They don't want the power into the hands of the people. Hell, look what happened in 2016 when they tried to, you know, they didn't sabotage the election, and therefore the pantsuit princess didn't get elected. They elected an outsider. And I have to laugh. You know, today I heard, well, who would the Democrats run? You know, well, there are some people out there that they could run. You know, they're not very, you know, James Clyburn is not very high. He's the guy who helped install Joe Biden, but is not high on Biden. So, you know, maybe they'll give us something like Mark Cuban. It's like, really? An outsider? You see what they did to the last outsider? And even though Mark Cuban would be a leftist, he's still a capitalist in some form, which is a threat to the institution. And the institution is to acquire power, as much power as they can, and take it away from we the people. And these justices now have in 3 decisions this past week, 3 decisions now, has really, really caused agita for the left wing in America. I know you like that term, agita.
Great word. So true.
Just,
we need,
man,
more Ajna.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But I do fear for the safety of our judges. And when you have, you know, Congress people, Congress critters, I love that term, Congress critters like Mad Maxine Waters, who's inciting people to violence and to go after the U.S. Supreme Court, she is somebody who should be in Gitmo. She is a seditious, treasonous bitch. And, you know, that her language, her venom, how she assails the U.S. Supreme Court, and then she says, to hell with the Supreme Court. Excuse me, but we're talking about the rule of law here. You took an oath of office. How many times now, you know, living off of the American taxpayer teat, how many times did you take an oath of office to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution? And now you're assailing the judicial branch of government and you're threatening them? She really, Mad Maxine Waters deserves to be impeached from the United States House of Representatives, and she needs to be tried for treason and sent to Gitmo. I mean, this incitement to violence has got to stop. And these are the same individuals, these left-wing lunatics are the same individuals who want to condemn Donald Trump for saying to walk peacefully to the Capitol. Walk peacefully. You notice how bonehead Biden in this press conference? Okay, well, there's no reason for violence, and violence is not good. So he makes it a point to say, walk peacefully, you know, in Washington, D.C., and nothing is said when that bozo says something. God.
Well, guess who's married to Adam Schiff's sister, Melissa Schiff? Talking about strange relations.
Romney? Who?
Robert
what?
Soros, the son of George Soros, is married to Adam Schiff's sister, Melissa Schiff. I did not know that. That's new info.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Nope. Talking about politically incestuous?
Yes.
On the side of Marxists? Oh, my goodness.
So... 2 years ago or 3 years ago when they first impeached Trump, and Adam Schiff for Brains was making up all these stories about Donald Trump, it came to light that his sister was married to Soros's son. And that was quickly washed under the rug, swept under the rug, and not many people said anything. And it was very interesting how now it's finally come out once again that Soros' son is married to Schiff. So you wonder who on the inside of Congress was a leaker and the ties to money, and who continues to make false accusations about Donald Trump. It's Adam Schiff.
Mm-hmm.
He's another coward. Settles a sexual harassment suit using a taxpayer-funded slush fund, you know, harassing a male intern. Sexual harassment of a male intern.
Schiff's gay?
You know what?
Apparently.
Hey, I don't know. Well, yeah. You know, sexual harassment of a male intern. A good old Bug Eyes is probably gay.
That would make you gay. That's really gay move.
As Bigfoot says, Schiff happens. Yeah, it's getting incredible, man. I just... You know, and I know... The weaponizing of the FBI, I don't know if we have enough time of it, but we'll say this. What's come to light on this movement is the fact that the upper echelon of the FBI had been used to go after Donald Trump, was to upend his presidency, was to and this is not an indictment on the FBI agents themselves, because it was the management of the FBI who was engaged and in bed with Obama, Biden, and then with Nancy Pelosi, and now of course with Biden Harris regime. You know, it's the upper echelon of the FBI, the upper management that really sought to undermine, you know, the 45's president. And I wouldn't trust them, because the FBI is sitting there and they have Hunter Biden's laptop, they have his hard drive, and they've done nothing. They have done nothing. So the protection of the criminal Joe Biden and the Biden crime family is unconscionable, what we're seeing today by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who's not investigated anything at this point. And all they've done is managed to sanitize and protect and shield the feckless wonder Joe Biden. It's really sad. And then, of course, today Joe Biden spews some globalist bullshit at the G7 meeting. And, of course, that means that more of taxpayer money is going to be absconded in order for this green scam, this global green scam. You know, well, you know, Vito, Germany and Japan are paying high gas prices, too. Okay. Well, that justifies us paying $5 a gallon. I mean, just, God almighty. it's truly incredible what we're seeing today, Al. It's truly incredible. I mean, the demonizing of the judicial branch of government by the legislative branch, by the executive branch. The executive branch of the President of the United States calling the Supreme Court justices extremists. And did he do that back in 1973? No, because he agreed. He disagreed with the Roe v. Wade decision. Did he call the justices extremists at that point? No, he didn't. But now it's fashionable to demonize the judicial branch of government because the idea is to upend our constitutional republic. Rotten.
Rotten. So now they're making a play to pack the court, which is going to fail miserably.
Yeah. As it should.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to take my toys and leave the sandbox. Chuck Schumer, I'm just going to take my toys and go to another sandbox. He can go there with Charlie Rangel. I'm sorry, the sandbox is full. It's full of money, Charlie. Oh, man. Just, well... You know, the play right now is the Democrats have nothing. They have nothing. They know they're going to get their asses handed to them in November. But now with abortion on the table, you know, it changes the whole thing. And, you know, the whole perspective, they're thinking that this will absolutely incite, you know, the base in order to get out and vote. And to vote out Republicans so they can maintain their majority and further destroy our constitutional republic.
Well said.
Yes, Charlie Rangel's in the house. He missed you, Hoser. He should have been calling you earlier. Hey, tomorrow night we got Eric from Kafiristan with Across the Crescent, 6 p.m. Wednesday, you got Hank Jones and Polly Sports, 5:30 p.m. Paul's, oh, you know what? Maybe Hank will have Indy Hawk, I think, or Mike to talk about the Supreme Court decision. Mike, we used to work for the Supreme Court, working clerk for the Supreme Court. So that should be kind of cool. Thursday, Paul Sutliff with the solicitor report. He's also the author of Cancel of Civilization Jihad. Check out Paul's show. Last week he had Osama Dykvec on. It's really good. It's a good show. Great job there, Paul. Friday, we've got Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday. Saturday, Minister Osama Dykvec and a beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan is back with the Real Interfaith Dialogue. Check out Cross the Crescent. I believe it's 2 p.m. On Sunday. And then Monday, Al and I will be back. Hey, it'll be the 4th of July next week. So you guys, everybody, you know, be safe out there and be safe with fireworks, handling fireworks. Some people, you know, don't let the liberals next to fire.
GC but if and they David, are, let them drink a lot.
Yeah, let them drink a lot, yeah. G-Ski and Dave is still on a sabbatical, but keep your prayers for G-Ski. Andy, Southern Sense Talk Radio, and with our great sidekick, author Curtis Bennett. Fridays, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Cheap, simple facts of life. Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time. You want a break from politics and Islam? Check out the Simone Nicole Show. Wednesdays, 8 p.m. on Spreaker.com. Spreaker.com. That's Simone Nicole. Joshua has some great self-help tips. And beautiful Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursdays. Go to AudreyRusso.com and check out her show. She has some great guests on her show. Al, any parting shot?
Holder, hate to tell you, Brooks Koepka, Matthew Wolf, Carlos Ortiz, Eugenio Chicano have all gone to the LIV.
Who
Greg Norman still
cares?
Has not been aborted yet.
Who cares? Right now, we're planning on doing a show here on the 4th of July. The fireworks will be going. No pun intended. but right now, I guess we are planning on doing a show next Monday. So have a few American beverages and go from there. Hey, thank you all for joining us. Bigfoot. All right. www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Holger, thanks for the call. Zucky Northwest, I Guy, the Alaskan Moving. Red Rider was in here earlier. Sue from New Mexico. Good night, everybody. Stay safe out there. Ciao. And Boyd. Got Boyd. Boyd was in the house. How did I miss him? The Alaskan. Here we go. Okay.
Baked Alaska.
Baked Alaska. Man, that was a quick 2 hours.
A lot going on. This has been a busy week.
It really has. It really has. You know, I didn't get to, in 1973, the decision, the Roe v. Wade decision, I looked up to see who the justices were on that. So you had Chief Justice Warren Burger. He was appointed by Nixon. William J. Brenner. He was appointed by Eisenhower in 1956. Potter Stewart appointed by Eisenhower in 1958, which is only 15 years prior, right? Byron White, 1962, appointed by JFK. Thurgood Marshall, 1967, appointed by LBJ. Harry Blackmun, 1970, appointed by Nixon. Lewis Powell, 1972, appointed by Nixon. William Rehnquist, 1972, appointed by Nixon. But the one that got me was William O. Douglas, appointed by FDR in 1939. For some reason, that kind of blew me away a little bit. William O. Douglas had been on the bench since 1939 and was one of the justices involved in the Roe v. Wade decision. Isn't that something? I mean, talk about
it
history.
It repeats.
Yeah. And in 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that individual state laws banning abortion was unconstitutional. And that's where even Justice Ginsburg had a problem with that. So, you know, all this noise today, and it's just the fact that states' rights.
Yeah, nobody's talking about Ginsburg. She is not – I haven't seen her mentioned anywhere.
Nope. Not at all.
But instead, the Antifa is out in the streets causing destruction, breaking windows, starting fires, and the police are just letting them do their thing.
Yeah, and, you know, if they would mention, if they start bringing up Ginsburg, the problem is now Ginsburg also sided with or agreed with Scalia with regards to how poorly written the Roe decision was. And, you know, that would just absolutely kill them. Would kill them. And I forgot, you know, I had this at the bottom of the page and we didn't get to it, but I follow this nasty Italian on Twitter, and she has some absolutely great tweet. And she tweeted today, she says, "Every single one of you so-called my body, my choice assholes is full of shit. Where the fuck were you when thousands of women were being forced to get vaccinated or lose their jobs?" And I thought, you know, that was really good. You know, my body, my choice, or you lose your job.
Yeah, it's true, and a lot of people did. They didn't have a choice. These are doctors, professionals. Yeah.
Military. Exactly.
Military. Too.
And how about airline pilots? I was talking to a friend of mine today. They had gone to, they were flying out of Utah back to Tampa. And the flight got canceled. It's like, really? No pilot. Talking to a friend of mine on Saturday. They were flying from Connecticut to, I forgot where it was, St. Louis. Flight got canceled. No pilot. So the report 2 weeks ago, the week before last, where 20,000 flights were canceled, it's all, there's no pilots.
So these pilots have been fired because they refused to get the jab, and now you've got these, the gross overbooking of flights, and now you've got people stranded around the country, you know, in destinations, thinking that their flights are going to take off, and boom, mm-hmm. they get canceled.
Yeah, for a shot that didn't even work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now everybody's got it and giving it to everybody. I see and hear about more people getting this COVID now than ever before.
Really?
Yeah. And they're walking around because their symptoms are mild. It's like they have a cold and a headache or a mild cold, so they go on about their business, spreading it around, becoming super spreaders.
So is that what Biden meant by saying they're going to be prepared for the next pandemic that's going to hit us?
Well, yeah, you know what's going to hit us is September.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right before the election, you know. Oh, we need mail-in ballots. We need to impose. We're going to appropriate, you know, $16 billion for mail-in ballots so no one doesn't feel oppressed, and we'll have people come pick it up. Yeah, there you go. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So, I mean, right. What's your... you got to go?
Hmm?
You got to go? Okay.
Gots to go.
All right, man.
Well, all right, well. We'll hit them good this week if you get a chance to get out and play. If not, Saturday and Sunday.
Sure. I don't know if I'll be able to... Yeah, I might. I think I might be able to... I don't know. God, I was one under yesterday. Double bogey, 18th hole. Oh. Still frustrated. It's still in my mind. So I'm going to have to go to the range tomorrow and work out some things. I get like
the
gala.
Do they charge you a fortune out there for balls, for range balls?
No, I found a place that's really good, man. It's like it's $10 and an extra like an extra large bucket and a half, and I go out there and just work on things, take some videos, and work on the swing, and I'm so mad. It started raining on the 18th hole, and I rushed it, and I just forgot one little move, and that was to drop the right shoulder at address, and swing, and I kept the shoulders level and hit a nice high fade, and it took a bounce to the right. It took another bounce to the right, and it just dribbled right out of bounds. It's like, son of a gun.
Mm.
Dropped the right
OB?
Shoulder.
Wow.
Went OB. Yeah.
Ouch.
And it was raining. It was, the wind was blowing from left to right. And then I teed up another one, hit a provisional, dropped the right shoulder, dead down the middle of the fairway. 247-yard, 3-wood, bang, right down the middle of the fairway. Like, son of a puppy dog.
What a great game, golf,
I know.
Isn't it?
It was fun. Yeah. It's like, I actually smiled. I went, wow, you know, that's the way it should have been the first time. But, you know. What are you going to do?
All right, my brother. You have a great week.
Thanks, you too. Bye, Sue. Have a nice evening. All right, man.
Bye,
have
Sue.
A nice day. You guys be safe out there.
Adios. That's all, folks.
That's all, folks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for using Block.